All right, welcome to the Football Pubcast. This is show number 7, and I was going to say we've got a skeleton staff out with us today, but seeing as the three biggest lads on the show are here, I don't know if that's the best terminology to use. I'm Simon Head, and Stuart Hoare is over here.
Afternoon.
And Dan Ferdinand's here as well.
Food.
There you go. Dan has got a burger and chips on the way, so if you hear any clinking of cutlery, then that's why. We are very short on numbers today. Mr. Pitney has moved on to pastures new work-wise, but rest assured we haven't got rid of him. So
for people who love his funny accent.
Yes, yeah. My wife actually said, "Who is that carrot cruncher you've got on the podcast?" I said, "That'd be Si, his barbecue went to the other week." But yeah, and our loudest member of the podcast, Mr. Staples, is being very loud in Magaluf about now. I think he's coming back for the end of the week, so...
Probably not very loud halfway through the week, because he's probably just winding himself back in, hopefully.
I would think so. He's probably drying out somewhere in some clinic. but so it's just the three of us this week, so it should be a bit shorter than normal, I would have thought. We'll kick off with a question, and it's a topical one. John Toshack has decided that he's going to leave Wales. I can hear a collective sigh of relief from the valleys from here. Who would be your top three suggestions for the Wales job? Dan?
I mean, it's pretty simple, really. Toshack should have gone beforehand. They should have kicked him out. He has 6 years in a job where he's done absolutely nothing except for bring through young players at whatever time. But I've got three names. I think Chris Coleman might be a good shout. He's managed at kind of what you would say the world's level is. But he's a very passionate Welshman. My personal favourite, John Hartson, he's actually declared that he wants this job. I don't know Welsh football too much, but if they've got a kind of an old coach, a coach, you know, who's well into his 60s, loads of experience, that they can get him to assist him, the technical side, I think his passion as a Welshman and his passion for football would be immense. And everyone loves John Hartson, and he's done so well since being ill.
That's saying it could see him back healthy again.
And then I've got a bit of a wild card, but I think it'd be an immense appointment. Martin O'Neill. Out of work. Yeah, you possibly do it. You know he likes young players.
Out of work, not desperate.
I like it.
Okay, Stu, have you got any advance on those three?
I've got three wild cards.
Fabio
Capello.
I don't think they can pay him enough.
It'd be bloody funny though, wouldn't it? Seeing him go over
walk
that bridge.
Was
it £7 a time when you go over that bloody bridge? I don't know if we had afford that on his wages. Capello, Maradona.
Oh, that would be immense.
Maradona and John Hartson.
What, as a combo?
Yep.
Blimey, training would be a hoot, wouldn't it?
And
if I didn't know better, I'd say you were making these up.
I am.
All right, okay, go on.
Dave Jones, he's been in Wales a long, long time.
Yeah.
The people obviously understand him. The only problem is the Swansea side of things. They're not going to pull the Swansea crowd, are they? But perhaps, on a serious note, Dave Jones, perhaps.
That wouldn't be a bad call. The three I've got, Chris Coleman, as Dan mentioned earlier, I think he's looking for work, so, and I think he'd be an ideal fit for that sort of job. Brian Flynn would be my other one. Flynn is currently looking after the under-21s, I think. He's bringing through, and they're doing quite well.
Him
so
and Hartson,
he would be a good mentor to bring in. So he'd look after the 21s, but you know, maybe he gets someone else in to do 21s. Flynn almost works as like a director of football for the whole of the Welsh national team setup, and you could have someone like Hartson working under him. Knowing that you were going to say Hartson, I picked another ex-player. Well, you say ex-player, who still plays. Robbie Savage. Sav gets what a way to replace Toshack.
So I will be perfectly honest.
Toshack out, Savage in.
Savage's got a lot on at the moment. He does 606. He does the mirror column.
Yeah,
he's doing absolutely loads. I don't think he's got time.
He's got to wash his hair.
But if they rung him up today and said, "Sav, we want you to manage Wales,"
he would drop everything for the
Welsh. Of course he would.
100%.
Passionate Welshman. Would he bring himself out of international retirement to play for himself? That's the question.
No, because he's not. As much as people think he is, I don't think he's that egotistical.
Allowed it, surely.
Why on earth not? Good exposure for Derby as well.
There's all this talk of they're offering Ryan Giggs a job, but allowing him to still play.
I don't know if Giggs got any interest in coaching or management.
He said he does.
Oh, he has.
Yeah, he said he wants a Welsh job at some point in the future.
Maybe him and Scholes.
That was a gruesome twosome.
Have Scholes doing all the press conferences because he's so chatty. Because he's great for banter. Now, apparently Scholes is quite a good lad. He just doesn't like doing interviews at all.
I love Paul Scholes, by the way.
Great player as well.
Just for that point, that he doesn't pander to what everyone thinks.
Yeah, him and Giggs are probably two of the best examples of how you should conduct yourself as a professional footballer. But yeah, so we've got some suggestions there. I mean, I'm not one of these people who likes to see Wales and Scotland and Northern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, getting caned. I like to see them doing well.
Yeah, me too.
Like, when they play us, I like to see them getting caned. But you know, I want to see them doing well.
I'll shout out for Northern Ireland, by the way. Well, great result!
That was. Obviously, Wales are in our qualification group.
Yeah, we'll smash it.
So obviously, you know, we want them to be in disarray just for those two games.
Yeah,
I'd like them to come second in the group.
I think if they're in the form of their lives, we'd still beat them comprehensively.
I don't know. When we
big talk from the big man.
When we play him in March, Aaron Ramsey and Collison might be back.
No, it'd be interesting to see what happens there, because you know he's going to walk, but he's not going to go until they've got a replacement. So it'd be interesting to see who's going to get it. Phil Brown's available.
And Phil Brown is a little bit too tanned for the Welsh club.
He's out. They know a good sing song though, don't they?
Yeah, if you're teaching him a few, like, you know, Bread of Heaven,
I can only imagine
my
him,
father's and all
him
that.
Singing a Welsh national anthem.
He'd give it some.
Yeah, definitely.
He'd give it some. He'd be out of tune. You can't sing Sloop John B. Then
he's got no chance.
You can't sing the Beach Boys. You can't sing the Welsh national anthem. But that would be for entertainment value. Phil Brown, but that should be quite a good appointment. I'm not sure the Welsh people out there might
agree
with that.
Just one point on Phil Brown taking a Welsh job. Yeah. Could you imagine if he started to shout at Bellamy on the pitch?
None.
It'd just be a fight.
No. I mean, I feel sorry for the likes of Bellamy and Gareth Bale. They're two really good players, and they're in a side at the moment. They're really struggling because there's not a lot of talent coming through. The youngsters are doing all right, I think. But
yeah,
it's just that, you know, getting them up to international level. Speaking of which, last weekend, England took on Bulgaria at Wembley in a game that we all obviously predicted their results for. None of us got it bang on. We all predicted a win.
Is that a point then for a win?
We all get a point for that. Yes. I got nearest by saying it would be 3-0, but it actually turned out to be 4. So Adam Johnson with a goal on his full international debut. Jermaine Defoe with a hat-trick. Rooney had a good game. Joe Hart, I mean, what do we think?
A perfect performance, wasn't it, for Rooney? Guess what Capello's touted it as?
Well, I mean, obviously he's had a lot of other stuff going on right now, which
Jimmy Thompson's been going on.
So he's had a lot going on, but Rooney turned up and put in a really... He didn't score.
He played a part in all four of the goals, though, didn't he?
And he nearly scored a cracker where he chipped the keeper. But, you know, it was a good performance. And I was on Twitter, I was tweeting about the game on the Football Podcast Twitter. And I said about 30 seconds before Jermaine Defoe scored his second goal, I said, yeah, I think I'd be looking to make a change here. Defoe hasn't done much in a while, take him on.
And that's why you're not the manager.
That's why Fabio Capello is the England manager. Defoe's one of those players, you give him service, he scores, doesn't he? And he had the service. The wide players did well. I mean, you're a big Theo Walcott fan. Dan, how'd you see? And obviously it was him, and then when he came off, Adam Johnson.
Yeah, I'd just like to remind everyone, I've only seen the highlights of this game because I was at Luther Vandross, which was brilliant.
Hang on a minute. No, you weren't at Luther Vandross.
Well, no, I wasn't. I was at a tribute.
What was his name?
No, Luther Vandross, I called him. No, his name's Phil. At the Woodwood.
Phil Brown.
No.
Phil Vandross.
No, it really wasn't.
Phil Vandross.
No. Yes, Luther's little brother. No, he was actually immense, by the way. But getting to
who, game, Luther or Walcott?
I didn't see. But no, the highlights of the game. Highlights of the game. Theo looked good. I think the one problem for Theo is a little bit like Defoe. He needs more service. Arsenal, he plays slightly higher. They like to get him in a game. Sanya gets in the game a little bit more from the midfield. And they look to do a lot more passing. Whereas for England, a lot of it goes for Rooney, which means it goes central.
Yeah.
But I think he does well. I think we spoke earlier. You made a valid point about if Walcott or Johnson, whether you not start with Johnson and bring Fair One as the players get tired.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go wrong with either of them, to be perfectly honest. I do like Milner, but it's one of those things where I think there's a big call for five in midfield, because I just can't see how you can leave Adam Johnson out the side.
No.
But I love Theo's pace. I love Milner. I think.
It's a nice problem
I don't like to really say that Capello's getting it wrong, because I don't think he is, but I just think it's very difficult to leave Johnson out of the team. He's such a good player.
I think Johnson is giving him a real headache now, because he's come out, he's put him in a side and he's done the business.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, the one thing I would say about Johnson, if you're comparing him with Milner, is Milner will give you a bit more defensively.
Oh, of course.
So against the stronger sides, you might prefer Milner for his endeavour going back towards zone goal, but as an attacking winger, Johnson's a real sort of throwback. He gets to the byline, he gets crosses in. You don't see that very often these days. So it's good to have him in the squad, and it's good to have him as an option.
Definitely. One more point I'd like to make before Stu probably jumps in. I said a long, long time ago that Middlesbrough should have cashed in on Stuart Downing and promoted Johnson a lot earlier than they did.
Yeah.
I think I'm being proved correct, because where is Stuart Downing as far as England set up, and look at Johnson thriving. I thought Johnson was a better player than Tufu.
Has Downing got his leg back yet? It was broken for a
time. No, he's back. He's great. Yeah, he scored the first game of the season.
But Downing's a good club level player. I don't think he's international standard. I see him in the same way that I used to view Wes Brown. Decent at club level, not up to it international standard. Whereas I think Adam Johnson's got that little bit extra to actually do stuff.
Oh, definitely. And it's very, very rare to play out on the wing with his opposite foot and cut in, but he's very good.
Well, going back, the goal, he was cut inside, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think the keeper was at fault for that.
Near post.
Come on.
Oh, no, 100%, but, you know,
a lot of keepers would have saved that, but he did very well to get into that position and to have the strike in the first.
But he had the curler on the out, tried to go outside and in.
Yeah, of course.
A little bit before that.
He was definitely at fault, but obviously he's going to work his confidence a hell of a lot, definitely. Isn't it? I think he's done all right there.
Did you see the whole 90 minutes?
I watched bits and pieces. I was in a pub with some friends, so when I was getting around or trying to go to the toilet, then no, I wasn't watching it.
Excellent. And Dan's burger has just turned up.
That's not a bad looking burger, Dan.
It's very busy, isn't it?
There's some serious lettuce going on in it. Okay, we'll go on to Stu's favourite player.
Joe Hart, doing a bit.
Did he or did he not have an absolute stormer?
I think it's... Well...
Because without him, that game could have been completely different.
Yeah.
Because there was the incident where we got our second goal. Bulgaria broke through our defence. I don't know what was happening on the right-hand side of our back four. Glenn Johnson went AWOL again.
What was he attacking?
No, I don't know. I mean, that's the one worry about us at the back. Johnson's a little bit iffy defensively. He'll get better, but at the moment, it's a bit dodgy. So, and they had a really good chance, middle of the goal. They hit it straight at him, but he made a good stop, Joe Hart. Ball went straight down the other end of the pitch. Defoe scores 2-0, effectively game over.
I think
says
a lot.
He had a good game, didn't he, Hart?
Yeah, very. Well, it says a lot. He's already been touted for Peter Shilton's record, hasn't he? For the most capped England player.
Touch early.
Yeah, but it's...
Yeah.
I don't think he's premature. I think he's got it to go all the way.
The thing that I like about him, and even when I saw him when he first came through and he was in the under-21s, he's confident. He knows he's a good goalkeeper. He communicates well with his back four, and when he makes decisions, he makes them really decisively. He doesn't, you know, you see some goalies, they think, oh, shall I come out, shall I not, and they end up getting caught doing nothing. If he's coming out, he'll come out and he'll make sure he gets something.
And it must be a lot easier for him at England, because they all speak the lingo in the back four. He's back four Man City. I mean, is he learning the four different languages? I mean, what when he says keeper's ball, what's he shouting? I bet it's not keeper's ball, because they're all looking at him as if he's an idiot.
No, he's got Vicar Richards.
But he hasn't got the brains to translate, has he? Jesus Christ.
Oh, dear. But no, he's done well. And another thing, I know that they've taken a lot of stick with their TV coverage. Mainly from Dan.
Saw all the goals, didn't you, Dan?
All goals were on this time. But ITV's coverage, I just thought they did a really good job. And I don't mind Clive Tilts as a commentator. I actually quite like him. And they had Townsend in there doing the co-commentary with him. And I think that works quite well.
No.
But the star of the show was Danny Murphy.
They
had Danny Murphy in as a pundit, and he was absolutely him, Southgate and Townsend. So Townsend was running to and from the commentary box. But
coverage is poor still for me.
But no, I didn't mind it. I thought it was good, and having Danny Murphy on there.
What about Daybreak for ages? Anyone seen Daybreak?
Yeah. We've been at work.
I was off work sick yesterday, so I did see some of Daybreak. To be
fair, it didn't look very confident, did it?
It was. I saw the last 5 minutes. What I didn't understand was they had an this is the football podcast, by the way, but we're talking about daytime TV. They've got this massive sofa, a massive purple sofa, and Adrian Charles is pretty much sitting on Christine Blakely's lap, which is fair enough, if you ask me. But
why such a big sofa?
As would I.
But they've got this huge sofa, and they couldn't get a Rizzler paper between them.
Oh,
and I'm like, what is going on there? But, you know, they've obviously said, stay together. It was a bit like watching a one show just early in the morning and a bit slower. I don't mind Agent Charles.
GMTV, yes or no?
I never watched GMTV. I remember Bob Monkhouse used to say that GMTV stood for Give Me the Valium. Legend Bob Monkhouse. But no, Charles, I don't mind Agent Charles. He's all right. He gives it a little bit of the the sort of common touch.
Have we got Sky?
Better either Steve Ryder, which I wasn't a fan of.
It's on Sky today.
It's on Sky tonight, so I don't know whether it'll be Ben Shepherd or Richard Keys. I guess it would be Keys tonight.
It better be Keys.
But although Ben Shepherd's done all right, to be fair to him. That's our TV review for the week. Game of the week. I just very quickly talk about this.
very quickly.
Dan's nearly choked on his chips. It involved Gillingham, who haven't won away from home, or hadn't won away from home in 28 games going into the weekend.
I can't imagine anything's changed.
Nothing's changed. We're 29 games without an away win now. We lost 5-4 at Bury.
You scored then?
Yeah, we went 2-0 down.
Jesus Christ.
Thanks to our centre-half Josh Gowling giving them two goals. He gave them the first goal by hitting a back pass too short.
Is he a centre-back or was he played out?
He's a centre-back. Right. He gave them the first goal from a bad back pass. He gave them the second goal by giving away a penalty.
Brilliant.
And he gave them the fifth as well, I think. So it just wasn't good, but they went 2-0 up.
So if he wasn't there, you'd have won 4-2?
Arguably. You could argue that. But yeah, no, we went 2-0 down, pulled it back to 2-1. We thought all comebacks on. Not. 3-1 down. Then we pulled it back to 3-2. Then a minute later, we made it 3-3.
You were on for a point at one stage.
We were on for a point.
And apart from kickoff.
And then they went 4-3 up. And we thought, well, that's it, finished. Then we equalised again to make it 4-4. Then they scored again to make it 5-4 with about 8 minutes left, and that was it. I think there was a spell of 28 minutes where there were 7 goals scored, which is pretty good going.
Mm.
The manager got it a bit wrong with the team selection. He changed 3 out of the 4 in defence that hadn't conceded away from home previously this season in the league, and we let 5 in. So,
what's his reasoning behind that?
I don't know. He just switched things around a bit. It didn't really work. But we seem to have stumbled upon a way of attacking that seems to generate goals. So that's one end of the pitch sorted. We now need to sort the other end again now. We're either good at the back and crap up front, or good up front and crap
can't
up
have
the
it
back.
All, mate.
It's kind of, yeah, maybe a midfield stalemate on Saturday against Shrewsbury's what's in order, who are top of the league, so that's going to be a tough one for us. But yeah, 5-4, good game for those who went as neutrals, but for the two managers, I suspect they're both probably bald now and tearing their hair out. But we'll look at the second teams now. Dan, I'm going to start eating some of your chips while you tell us about Barkingside.
Yeah, Barkingside. Barkingside actually had a really funny weekend. I'm going to be honest, more's going to have to come over the rest of this week as more reports come through. Basically, they're in the FA Vars where they drew 2-2 away from home to Buckingham Athletic.
That's a quick replay. They replayed it on Monday.
Mm. Well, there was an awful lot of... well, it's one, because there's so many games in the season, but two, because there was a lot of controversies, supposedly. So, as I say, hopefully we're going to get...
Controversy on Monday.
Yeah, we're going to get a little bit more. But in the replay on Monday night, back at Barkingside, unfortunately, I didn't get to go, but I'm going to go their next home game on the 25th. They won 7-0.
Get in there.
So, yeah, that's not too bad. I doubt if we're going to get in the video, but we'll get a match report and all sorts.
Mm.
And hopefully, I'm trying to get comment from the chairman on the Saturday game.
Super.
Because it seems like it was a little bit of a...
It was a bit tasty.
Feisty affair.
Handbags, was it?
Yeah. Tasty. There may have been some sendings off. There may have been some après match incident as well. From what I read a report on the Buckingham website. And obviously, that's their side of it. And all they put in there was, we aren't going to comment about what happened after the final whistle, so who's to say?
I'll tell you what happened after the final whistle on Monday.
Yeah, they went home.
Yeah.
They went home and were out. But yeah, 7-0 is a great result.
Got some goals.
That's pretty decisive.
Yeah.
So that's a good result for them.
Yes.
So in Jim's absence, you'll have to pick up the baton.
As Jim would have said last week, Hastings were away at Averley this weekend. Kenny Pogue started a couple of games, didn't he?
He did, and he didn't go so well, did he?
He went back to the bench this weekend.
Yeah.
And finished 3-1. Kenny Pogue coming off the bench, I can confirm.
Super sub.
Scored one, made the other two, in fact. So as soon as Kenny Pogue's come off the bench, he's going to have to be a super sub going forward, isn't he?
He is non-league Solskjaer.
He can't start for Toffee.
Non-league Solskjaer.
But when he comes off the bench, he's very busy.
It's quite a simple, nice problem to have for the manager, isn't it?
Well, they've got an established front pairing, haven't they? They're obviously doing all right for him. But they bring Pogue off the bench, and the goals are going in. So
very busy, the kid,
superb
isn't
stuff. Yeah, so what's the final score?
Final score, Hastings 3, Averley 1.
Fantastic stuff.
So a nice little win for them.
and Jim will be back to give us an update and probably another UR-ya, which he loves doing, in the next show. De Graafschap didn't play because of the international weekend, is that right?
It's probably a well-deserved break, I think. They've been absolutely boiling dicked on the last couple of games, haven't they?
And Osijek, who have been a bit up and down themselves, they didn't play either. No such problems for Peterhead, no international commitments for those guys.
That's a shame.
They played in the quarter-finals of the Alba Challenge Cup against Stenhouse Muir, who beat them quite comprehensively in the league earlier this season.
Peterhead, they've only ever won, they haven't won a game apart from in this cup all season.
That's right, they haven't won a league game yet. So they took on Stenhouse Muir, who beat them in the league earlier in the season, and Peterhead beat Stenhouse Muir by 3-1. It sounds like they beat them well as well. Dennis Wyness, who they signed in the summer, hit 2 goals, either side of a brilliant volley apparently from Conor Gethins. So they're now through to the semi-finals of the Alba Challenge Cup. They're the only side from Scottish Division 2 to make it
and
through.
And still not to have won a game in their own league.
But they haven't won a game in their own league yet.
I see a cup run.
Well, how much more of a run do you want? They're in the semis. There's only one more game.
Final game.
If they get to the final, we're going.
Yeah.
We have to go. I don't know. I don't know whether it's at Hampden. We'll have to find out about this. If they get to the final, we're going to have to go. Scott DL scored for Stenhouse Muir.
Doesn't matter, does it?
But they were 3-0 down by then, and Peterhead had basically got the job done. Good stuff for Neil Cooper and the boys. And his post match interview, you can watch that on the Football Podcast website now at www.footballpodcast.co.uk. That's our second team's rounded up. Which brings us nicely on to Stu's news. Stu?
I've got some great news.
Okay.
Dave from Stowmarket, thank you very much for getting in contact with us.
Oh, nice one, Dave.
Yeah, just to remind everyone, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. Anyway, Dave sent this story in this weekend. He found it on ESPN.
Okay.
And it regards Usain Bolt. So you wouldn't automatically think it's got anything to do with football. Wrong. Bolt believes it's impossible to run any quicker than 9.4... seconds. A 9.4 second benchmark is what he's going to set for a 100 metre record.
Okay.
And when he hits that, he fancies a career in professional football. Oh. Being as quick as he is, if he's got a first touch, I'm guessing he's going to get a game somewhere.
Can you imagine being a fullback against him? You just knock it over the top of him.
Long ball specialist.
Yeah, he could come down to Gillingham for a trial.
I'm going to, hang on, is there... At 24 years old as well, he reckons he wants another couple of years, maybe 3 or 4 years in athletics to get this record.
Yeah.
And then, he wants to put on a pair of football boots and give it a turnout. So, but anyway, thank you very much, Dave, for that story.
Yeah,
and
nice
once
one,
again, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk for any stories for this week.
Yeah, definitely. Send them in. And there's a new way of getting in touch with the show, which I'll tell you about a bit later on. Right, we'll move on now to our first 11, which we started this off last week with our bald 11, which I still haven't got my backsliding gear and put on the website yet, so apologies for that, I'll do that this week. What we're doing this week, the best foreign signings in 11, so best foreign players to play in England. They don't have to be Premier League, but I'm guessing they probably will be. I've said here, play them in a 4-4-2, but judging by the team I've looked at, I've put down here.
1-2-6.
It's the most bandit-looking 4-4-2 you've ever seen, because I've got like one midfielder in it. So, Stu, you go first, mate. Who have we got? Should we go through position by position?
First, yeah, keepers first. My keeper is Peter Schmeichel.
Yeah, I don't think there's much argument there, is there?
I've got an argument. It's Peter Schmeichel.
Okay, all right, there you go.
Better. Simon?
Yeah, I've gone for Peter Schmeichel as well, so that's... That's sorted then. No arguments. What about right back? Who's your right back?
Well, he's not a right back, but I wanted to put him in there somewhere. I've gone for Desailly at right back.
Okay. Dan, who have you gone for?
I've gone for Dennis Irwin.
Alright, okay. Yeah, it's a good shout. I've actually got him as my left back. We can play either. I've gone for Roland Nielsen, who, not the most glamorous player in the world, played for Sheffield Wednesday in the early Premier League years.
Oh.
Gave him years of really good service. Solid right back. Was very good fantasy football selection back in the day as well. He was always worth having inside. Left back, obviously, I've mentioned Dennis Irwin. So who have you got, Dan?
I've got Silvinho. Arsenal in Brazil.
He didn't play for long enough, did he? He was only in the side about 2 years, wasn't
he? Yeah.
Okay.
But he helped Ashley Cole come through.
Okay.
Who helped Clichy come through, who helped Gibbs come through. It's like a cycle.
I've gone for Patrice Evra.
Yeah,
that's a good shout.
He's been as good as anyone, hasn't he?
He's a very good left back, apart from... Actually, Cole, but obviously that defeats the object of foreign signing. So
when he's not striking in the French team.
or suspended.
I'll tell you what, you won't be doing that at Old Trafford.
Yeah, certainly not.
because that'll be P45 day if he does that. That won't be
happening. Patrick Sever at left back.
Okay,
centre back, Stanny boy.
Yeah, who've you got?
Oh, well, both of mine. I've got Yap Stam.
Yes, I've
who
gone.
Came up in our board 11.
I've gone for him as well.
And my personal, he was the first defender I put on, wrote down, Sammy Hippier.
Okay.
Oh, I've got Sammy Hippier.
Who have you got alongside him?
I've got Vidic alongside him.
All right, I've gone for another slightly older player, Lucas Radebe.
Lucas Radebe.
Lucas.
The chief.
Good shout.
Came from Kaiser Chiefs. Leeds United fans absolutely love
that. The reason, a legend.
Yeah. The band are called Kaiser Chiefs because of Lucas Radebe, because they signed him from South Africa called Kaiser Chiefs. And that's how it happened. But yeah, so
kind of a big deal.
He is kind of a big deal. So there's a couple of votes for Stam in there, and there's a couple of votes for Hippier in there, so I guess that's our two centre halves.
He can go on the bench though.
Ooh, Radebe.
Yeah, I've got a bench.
Radebe's, yeah. Midfield. Now, I've said 4-4-2, but I've kind of broken my own rules here, really. But go on, Dan, we'll listen to yours first.
All four?
Yeah, go on.
My four in midfield, starting from right to left, is Cristiano Ronaldo on the right.
Yeah.
In the midfield, it's immense. It's Roy Keane and it's Patrick Vieira.
They wouldn't be able to play
That's
together.
A joke.
They'd be too busy trying to eat each other.
It'd be a joke. And then on the left, I'm going to say again, my favourite player of all time, Tamuri Ketsbaya.
Tamuri Ketsbaya. I can't believe he's made that
team. Oh, come on.
Stu.
From the left, I've got Ginola. Hey, I like that. Makélélé again.
Hey, Makélélé.
Vieira, very French. And then Ronaldo. Ronaldo on the right. Okay. It has to be Ronaldo on the right, doesn't it?
I've cheated slightly.
No.
How many strikers?
Depends if you call Ronaldo a striker. If so, three.
Well, no, we'll play him at the right.
All right. I've gone for Ronaldo on the left wing.
Okay.
I've gone for Zola on the right wing. He's not a winger, but I had to put him in. Zola has to be in this team.
He was on my bench.
He has to be.
He's on my bench.
And I've gone for Patrick Vieira to hold the midfield, because someone needs to. Because playing in front of him, I've got Dennis Bergkamp.
4-1-3-2.
Right. So you could be playing. You could switch this to some sort of Christmas tree formation with Bergkamp and one of these forwards I'm about to mention playing behind the front man. My forwards playing right up top, Thierry Henry.
Yeah.
And just behind him, possibly alongside Dennis Bergkamp, Mr. Cantona. Or Monsieur Cantona.
That's me, Henri Cantona.
I went with Henri and Bergkamp. Can't.
Proven partnership,
just
as well,
couldn't, yeah, just couldn't go away from my Arsenal connection. But I did do a bench, and on my bench was both Zola and Cantona.
That's, yeah.
And Bobby Perez, because I could just imagine bringing one of those, or those three players on.
But yeah, Henri and Bergkamp, they have to be in any Premier League side, I think. Although not Stu's.
Not Stu's. But because he stuck.
Stu's got no Gianfranco Zola, either.
No, because he stuck to the rules of 4-4-2, like
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Which meant, for me, Cantona and Zola missed out. And for Stu, Bergkamp and Zola missed out.
See, what I did, I wrote down the players that have to be in. And the players that had to be in were Schmeichel,
and they had
Zola.
To fit in the positions.
Yeah, Schmeichel, Zola, Bergkamp, Cantona and Henri. Let's put them in a 4-4-2, but it doesn't really work, does it?
No.
There's not a lot of defending going on in my team. But what we'll do, we'll between that lot, we'll put together an 11 and we'll put them on the website. And if we find any little highlights clips from YouTube, we'll drop some of those in as well. So that's our first 11. If you've got any suggestions for what 11s you want us to talk about in future shows, send us an email, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, and we'll make sure we do them.
That'd be good.
Yeah, and we'll move on to the weekend preview now. We'll offer some predictions as we go. We'll look at the three teams that we support. Arsenal v Bolton. Dan, prediction.
Yeah, I'm not.
How many goals are Bolton going to let in?
No.
Arsenal are at home. It's going to be a massive.
Not
at the Emirates though.
No, it's a thing. I still think we're going to win. I think we'll win by two clear goals. So that might be 3-1.
Okay.
Or 4-2.
You think you'll let two in at home? Well,
yeah, Kevin Davies scares the hell out of me. I look at our back four, and there's no real nasty. Well, our back five, really, including the keeper, no one's nasty enough for me.
Yeah, Koscielny's not really doing it, is he? He's a bit lightweight, isn't he?
No, I think he's actually a really good player, and I don't think he's so bad. But
he's a footballing centre half.
Yeah,
isn't he? He's not a.
So Vermaelen's going to have to be a bit nastier. But so yeah. We haven't got rid of the nasty in. I want to see what the new guy's like. This might be a time to play him, to be honest. Mm. Yeah, so I reckon 3-1 or 4-2.
Okay, Stu, any advance on that?
Last season, oh no, for Arsenal.
Yeah, Arsenal.
No, I don't think so. I reckon a win, probably 3-1.
Yeah, I've gone for 4-0. I think they'll get an early one and just absolutely destroy it.
If we get an early one.
Yeah. QPR v Middlesbrough. It's a big game, this one, Stu.
Massive. Last season, we lost to them 5-1 at home. Yep. And 2-0 away.
Points approved. Yeah. New manager,
most
new players.
Certainly.
So, you didn't have Jamie Mackie last year.
He didn't, Simon Pitney.
Mm. if you're listening, Pitney.
Yeah. See, I think we'll probably concede again, I think. But okay. I genuinely think at home we're going to generate an atmosphere enough to push the players on. I reckon 2-1 win this season.
That's what I've gone for, actually.
Yeah. I've actually just gone with a 1-0 victory. I just think Middlesbrough they don't know what they're doing right now. As a starting 11.
No. They didn't know what they were doing when they came to Loftus Road. Gordon Strachan hadn't won a game when they whacked us 5-1.
Gordon Strachan seems to be on a one-man crusade to do some sort of like Anglo-Scottish exchange program, and he's bringing as many players from.
He's brought a couple of good ones, but you know
he's brought some bang average ones as well.
Yeah.
So no, it'd be interesting.
So maybe it's better that they're Scottish and average than French and average.
They're probably cheaper, and they're probably work harder as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, Borough are going to be up there. So if QPR can win that, that'd be a real sort of indicator of how you're going to
improve our credentials, won't it?
Yeah, definitely. And we've got Gillingham v Shrewsbury. I know you two are well in touch with League Two football.
Yeah, so Shrewsbury top of the league, aren't they?
They are top of the league.
5-0.
We're going to improve on last week.
If that had been last week, everyone would have laughed at you. But this week, that sounds like a decent shout.
Yeah. What do you reckon?
Yeah, sorry, mate. 2-1 to Shrewsbury.
Okay.
Back to winning ways for Gillingham, I reckon.
You say back to winning ways. We haven't won one yet.
Leave it be. From last season. Well, you didn't win money last season, did you? Two seasons ago.
No, you had a great home record
last year.
So bad away.
Yeah. We've had so many players out injured. I don't think we fielded a side with less than five of our first teamers missing. So, and there's a chance we might have one or two of those back. Dennis Ollie could be back. He'd be a really, really good player to have back on the right hand side. I'm going for a win. For a win.
1-0.
We score goals at the weekend. We'll sort out the back four. We'll put the right people in, hopefully. We'll play a lot better at home. And hopefully, an early goal, and we'll win that 1-2-1. That's what I'm going for. Right, now, featured game of the week. Sod's Law, when our Everton fan Simon Pitney isn't here, our featured match of the week is Everton versus Manchester United. A guest predictor is none other than Mr. Ben Rankin, who me and Dan know very well.
Oh, awesome.
And Ben is a big Evertonian. He works here with us at the Mirror. Here's Ben's prediction. Right, I'm here with this week's guest podcast predictor. It's Mr. Ben Rankin, a good colleague of mine at the Mirror. How you doing, Ben? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, Simon.
Cool. This week, we've picked you, basically, because it's Everton versus Manchester United, our featured game this weekend. It's a lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. As an Evertonian, what are your thoughts ahead of the game?
I think it's obviously a massive game for us because we've got off to such an appalling start this season. But all the headlines are going to be created by a certain Wayne Rooney.
There's going to be no reaction from the crowd at all, is it? They're just going to let him go.
Not only is he returning to his home club, his hometown club, he's also obviously in the headlines for all the wrong reasons this week. So it'd be fascinating to see, first and foremost, whether he starts, and secondly, what sort of reaction he gets. But aside from Rooney, in terms of the result, I'd settle for 3-1, which was the result back in February at our place. Jack Rodwell scoring a fantastic third goal. If I'm honest, I think the chances of that are probably quite slim. but here's to hoping.
So is that your score prediction, or what is your actual
score prediction?
I'd
say it's probably going to be a bit narrower than that. I'd settle for. I think we could do it. I fancy maybe to sneak it 1-0.
Right. Okay.
Maybe new man Beckford just nodding one in.
There's been a lot of talk. We've been talking about him on the show because he's come up from Leeds United, obviously League One side last year. He's jumped two divisions now. He's playing Premier League.
Yeah.
How's he done? Because our other Everton fan on the show, Simon Pitney, hasn't rated him. He said he's come on. He's not done a hell of a lot. He's shown that he needs a bit more time before he can settle into Premier League football. How much of him have you seen?
I think he's. I'd agree with that. I think he's got a bit of time to. He's still trying to find his feet. But I think he's the sort of striker that once he gets going, he'll very much be. He'll be on a run before you know it.
He's a confidence player, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you, we need him to come good sooner rather than later as well. So we've got no one sticking it in the back of the net.
Obviously, looking ahead to the season as a whole, you've had a load of destabilising stuff in the papers and stuff, linking David Moyes would have moved away. That looks like that's not going to happen.
There's
like
no Julio, way that was ever going
to
happen.
It looks like Julio is going to Villa now, so that's been knocked on the head. What are your expectations for Everton for the season? Where do you think they'll finish? Can they challenge the top four, or are you realistically looking at sort of Europa League spot?
I don't think we'll be challenging the top four, but I do think we'll be certainly in the top 10. Moyes has got a terrific record at Everton. He never ceases to amaze me what he does with our team on the resources that he's got. And despite the slow start, I think as an Evertonian, I'm pretty confident that we'll see the side moving up the table very swiftly.
Cool.
We had a couple of unfortunate results, I think. I think we should have beaten Wolves. And you know, once you get off to a slowish start, it's difficult to recover. But you know, you can come back to me at the end of the season when we're fighting relegation and ram this straight back down my throat. Yeah. But I think we'll be fine. We almost always are. We're going for 1-0 Everton. Beckford to open his Premier League account. Mm. It's the lunchtime kickoff, so maybe next week if he gets it, we'll come back on and talk about it.
The Dicky Bird has just told me something about a bet with Louis Saha. You're going to need to shed some light on this. What's this?
This was actually last season, not this season.
Okay.
And it was three of us versus three on one side, three on the other. And I bet that I thought that Saha would score 10 goals in a season. I didn't think that was too much to ask, considering we were in about four competitions.
Yeah.
But he got off to a slow start, and then... And then he got going, and then we got to the FA Cup final with Saha needing two goals, I think, to clinch it. And when he hit the bar in the opening minute of the match, I thought we were quits in, or I was quits in, but unfortunately didn't come off. He ended up one short.
And how much did you lose on this bet?
£350.
Bloody hell, really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's called out of pocket.
That is nuts.
So safe to say we haven't put any more money, or I haven't put any more money on Saha this season.
No, it's probably a sound thing to do. So if
he's cost me a lot of money, Louis Saha.
Would you do that with Beckford?
Would I back Beckford to score 10 goals this season, same risk,
Jermaine Beckford, 10 goals.
Am I betting this? Are you and I having a bet on this?
No, we're not, because I don't have £350 to give you if I lose.
Nor do I. I would say... of course I'm going to back him.
Okay.
10 goals.
You're back standing by your man, as Dolly Parton. So, okay. Nice one. Thanks very much.
See you later.
Right, that was Ben's prediction. Dan, what do you think?
I think it is going to be 1-1.
You think 1-1? Yeah. I've actually gone for a 1-1 draw as well.
We're not on October yet. Simon was saying they don't start playing until October, weren't they?
That's true.
Beginning of the season, distinctly bang out. I reckon maybe 2-0 Man United.
2-0 Man United. Okay, I think you might be getting the points this week for some reason. Everton always seems to do well at home against Man United. They always win them a game. So, yeah. Right.
I don't think I've got a point in this competition yet. Oh no, I would have got a point for England.
That's pretty much it this week. You can send us your emails to banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, and there's something brand new that you can do. Thanks to our friends at Audioboo. You can now send us audio messages, which is quite a cool thing. And if you send us something particularly amusing or entertaining, we'll drop it into the show.
I'd love that.
So send us some messages, but you're going to need an Audioboo account to do that. If you know what Twitter's like, it's a bit like Twitter, but you're doing it with your voice instead of with a keyboard. It's really, really easy.
And it's free.
And it's completely free. So if you go to audioboo.fm or click the link on the Football Podcast website, you can go to Audioboo, get yourself an account, and then once you've got that, as well as recording some cool stuff for yourself, you can actually send us messages through the website. We've got a big green button there. Send us messages, and we'll play the best ones out on the show. Keep it reasonably clean, and then we can put it in the show.
Although we are explicit on iTunes.
We are explicit on iTunes, so
you can say maybe arse.
Yes, arse is allowed. You can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/...
Over 400 friends.
Over 400 friends. I'd never thought we'd have that many.
I don't have that many.
No.
I don't know where they've come from.
facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/footballpodcast. We're on iTunes, of course. Subscribe to the show. Just type in Football Podcast into the search on the iTunes store, or take a look at the sports charts. We're in there somewhere. We dropped off a little bit this week because we changed the show over a bit. We'll be back up there again next week. And there's a website, of course, at www.footballpodcast.co.uk. That's about it from us this week. It's goodbye from Dan.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Stu.
Good night.
And it's goodbye from me. Goodbye.